Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have come to the climax of our worship service, where we desire to hear from your word. Speak to us, O Lord. Use me just as a vessel to speak to your people and help us to be doers of your word. Pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The events which happen in this world are not left to chance or fate. God is actively involved in all these events. Though many times he seems to be acting behind the scenes. That's why you need not to be overwhelmed with fear in times of trouble, danger. But you should be encouraged to know that God is in control at all times. That's why we are going to consider this text under the title, Trust God's Providential Protection in Times of Danger. We shall consider 2 points. And the first point is, because God is in control at all times, you should be at peace even when people make evil plans against you. The second point we shall see, you should know that God can use any means to protect you. First then, let's consider our first point, which is, because God is in control at all times, you should be at peace even when people make evil plans against you. We saw previously that Paul was removed from the council of the Sanhedrin because of the violent disagreement which arose. The violent disagreement which arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. After Paul had wisely mentioned that he was a Pharisee. Then in verse 11, that was what we saw as verse 10 and backwards, but in verse 11, this is what we read. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, you must testify also in Rome. This was an assurance from God himself that Paul will be able to go to Rome and appear there and testify about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see here that the Lord does not say you may go to Rome, but he says you must be in Rome. It's a sure deal. The promises of God cannot fail. Again, that's why you should trust all the promises of God which are found in scriptures concerning you. So here is a sure promise towards the protection of Paul from the Lord himself. Yet in these verses, especially verse 12 to 15, something happens which threatened to end Paul's life. And if that happened, then he would not reach Rome. Was God's promise going to fail? Not at all. Instead, the Lord in His sovereign plan allow this event to happen, because nothing takes Him by surprise and nothing happens if He has not allowed it to happen. That's why, but according verse 12, this is what we read. When it was day, that's the day after this night when the Lord appeared to him in a vision, the Jews made a plot and bound themselves by an oath neither to eat or drink till they had killed Paul. So in these verses, it seems Paul's life was almost coming to an end, as if God's promise is going to fail. But surely, as you're going to see, it will not end here, and the Lord is surely working behind the scenes to protect His servant. But these Jews must have been those who were on the side of the Sadducees, because Paul had managed to win the Pharisees to his side. But these were men who strongly hated Paul and wanted to see him killed with whatever opportunity they had. For we read that they bound themselves with a vow neither to eat or drink till they had killed Paul. That is, they evoke heaviest curses upon themselves if they don't kill Paul. This is serious. People to come up and say, we will not eat, we will be cursed if we do not kill this man. This of course shows the depravity of the human heart, of wanting to add sin, to pile up sin upon sin. Observe the evil motives. They want to take the law into their hands and have Paul killed because of the disagreements they have with him, because of his teachings and practices. Of course, such vows, they will be released from them if they did not do what they intended to do. By the rabbis, it was said that the rabbis were wise men and they were in position to release people from such vows, such solemn vows. But it also shows how many Jews were against Paul and wanted him dead. For we see that they were more than 40 who made this conspiracy. More than 40 is really a big number. They all see Paul as their common enemy. But of course, it is no surprise that the world is always united to commit evil. You know how it is easy for a mob to be gathered to commit such evils even in today's world. You remember even how many Jews gathered together to see that our Lord would be put to death. And even you do not be surprised when you come to realize that so many people have come together to seek to do harm to you. We see that they proceed to seek the help of some members of the Sanhedrin. That is the chief priests and elders, to see that this evil plan of theirs comes to be accomplished. But you expect that such people, especially the chief priests, would tell these Jews to abandon that evil plan because they were religious people. But sadly, even these so-called religious people, they see Paul as an enemy, and they join these people and plan to see that Paul's life comes to an end. And such is what we saw, for example, also in church history. When the false Roman Catholic Church would come together with the state and kill many faithful Christians. And these leaders of the Roman Catholic Church were blinded and thinking that they were serving God in what they were doing. Because in their apostate state, they saw these faithful Christians as heretics who need to be done away with. Yet that was not the case. And so it should not be it surprised you when even so-called Christians be the ones who persecute you. And those who persecute you even claim to be doing service to God. Don't be surprised, because there's so much deception in people who they think they're serving God when actually they are going against God and His people. So the plan here is that these chief priests and elders go and deceive the captain or the tribune. So they tell him to bring Paul to the council because we want to inquire something more accurately about him. So that this large number of the Jews, 40 plus, hide somewhere, and as Paul is being taken to the council, they fall upon him surprisingly and kill him. But what's encouraging in all this is that God was in control. Because He knows the end from the beginning. He knew this evil plan of these Jews even before they proceeded with it. And he was even able to stop it when it had just started. But he chose to allow it for his good reasons. He chose even to allow these 40 plus men to involve the elders and the chief priests in this evil plan of theirs. And as John MacArthur rightly observes, in this whole passage, there's no mention of God or Jesus Christ. But surely you cannot say that God is out of the picture here. He was there and actively involved in whatever was going on here. And surely Paul's response after getting to know about this evil plan should have been, yes, and I think when he got to know about it, he held his peace. He was at peace, knowing that God is in control. And especially because the Lord had encouraged him on the previous night. Telling him that he will suddenly be in Rome to testify about him. He had nothing to disturb his peace because of his trust in his Lord, who is all-knowing and all-powerful, and whose plans and purposes cannot be brought to nothing. And surely it should be the same with you. God would allow men to make evil plans against you. But you should not fear, but entrust your life unto him. He will allow even people to advance in their plans and even do harm to you. But if he allows that ultimately, that will work out together for your good. It is him who even allowed our Lord Jesus Christ to go through what he went through. It was not a surprise to him. The sufferings of Christ were not a surprise to God. He planned them and allowed the Jews and the Romans to do whatever they did to him. And ultimately he worked good out of those evil plans of theirs. So that's the reason why you are saved today. It's because God allowed those Jews to do what they did to our Lord Jesus Christ. I find that so many Christians today are filled with fear. It's probably because they are ignorant about God's sovereignty and power. Some people seem to believe that it's the devil who is in control here on earth. And actually some believe that the devil and God have same powers. Both of them are struggling to see who can take control. Hence, the devil is nothing compared to the all-powerful God. And the devil cannot do anything unless God allows it. You therefore have no reason to fear the devil or his agents. Death is not in the hands of the devil or in the hands of people. It's in the hands of God, and till he beats, you cannot die. As the Lord Jesus Christ taught, you should not fear those who kill the body, and they do it because God has allowed it. But fear him who has the power to destroy both the body and the soul in hellfire. So if out of hatred men make evil plans against you, should remain at peace, knowing that God is in control. And if he chooses to allow those evil plans to proceed and do harm to you, again, trust in him and know that he allowed it for your own good. It's because of the ignorance about the sovereignty of God that many people are filled with fear. But as a Christian, you should find great comfort in this doctrine of God's sovereignty, to know that he's in control of each and every situation. It is sinful to not to trust God and to live a life of fear.
You
should not fear men or the devil. Fear God. Fear sin and flee from it. But secondly, we'll see that you should know that God uses any means, is able to use any means to protect you. And in this, the verses which follow after verse 15, you observe that God providentially comes in to protect his servant Paul from his enemies. And again, as John MacArthur rightly observes, you don't find any miracle here in this passage. But surely God was involved, and here we see that he was involved through his providence. He decided to use the various means of his providence to rescue his servant Paul from his fierce enemies. One writer has said this about providence. His providence means not that by which God idly observes from heaven, yes, what takes place on earth, but by that, as a keeper of keys, he governs all events. God is not just a mere spectator from heaven, just looking down on what is going on earth without any direct control of whatever is going on. No, he's directly in control of each and everything. Even a leaf falling from the tree, he knows about it and he allows it. He's in control of each and every circumstance which happens. And in this case, God was behind the scenes through his providence, governing all the events which were going on here. He does as he pleases. Sometimes he chooses to use miracles, like in the time when he used a miracle to save Peter from the prison. But in providence, he decides many times to use natural means of to save his people or to do the way he pleases in various ways. That's why constantly you need to trust the providence of God to protect you and to be on your side at the time. Again, in other words, providence means that God is for us. God is on our side. He may choose to act through a miracle, or he may choose to use ordinary means to intervene. But you know that in the final analysis, all the affairs of men are in the hands of God. And he causes all things to work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. Here we see that in the first place he chose to use Paul's sister's son. When we see in verse 16 that now the son of Paul's sister heard of their ambush. By the way, this is the only time in the New Testament where we see something about Paul's family. It is said that Paul may have been rejected by his family after he became a Christian. And what's very clear from scripture is that Paul's family was from Tarsus in Sicilia. But it's possible that, like Paul in his childhood, this young man had also been sent from his home to Jerusalem to study at the feet of some Pharisee there, since they all came from the family which was part of the fraternity of the Pharisees. And if that was the case, it was very easy for this young man to get to know about this secret plot of the Jews. But of course, again, as I've said, it's God who enabled this young man to do what he did. It was God working behind the scenes. Because the people of the world, when they look at such a thing, they'll say, well, that happened by chance. But sure, there's no such thing as chance. It is God who is in control of each and every situation. And God decided to use this ordinary means of Paul's sister's son to reveal this evil plan of the Jews. And God, many times, even in your life, he uses this ordinary means of providence to save you. When you look through your life, you remember times probably you were saved from an accident or thieves or robbers through some ordinary means of providence. Surely you are to trust the providence of God always. And Paul at this time was being kept in the barracks, although he's referred to as Paul the prisoner, but it seems he had been allowed visitors to come in and see him. That's why his nephew was able to enter the barracks and tell him this evil plan of the Jews. But I believe God made sure Paul finds favor in the sight of those who are keeping him in these barracks. Because we see that when he gets to know about the plot, he calls the centurion, hands over this young man to the centurion, who takes the young man to the captain of the army. And the captain gladly listens to the young man. We'll read in verse 19 that the tribune took him by the hand and going aside, asking him privately, "What is it that you have to tell me?" Surely it was God involved in all of this. It is not known how old this young man was, but it seems was at an age where he was able to know and understand what was going on and even reason through it. So he was able to reason with this captain and even advise him. In verse 21, we see him tell the captain, "But do not be persuaded by them, for more than 40 of their number are laying in ambush for him, who have bound themselves by oath neither to eat or drink till they have killed him, and now they are ready waiting for your consent." But had it been not God in control, probably this pagan captain would have cared nothing about whatever he had. But he would not have cared to even listen to this young man. But God was in control of each and every situation that was going on here. But also what you should learn from this situation, from these events, so you should not neglect those ordinary means of providence which God chooses to use in your life. Judah Paul did not neglect them. If he would have neglected them, he would have maybe said, "The Lord assured me that he'll protect me and I'll be in Rome." And so, though I have heard of this plot, no, I will not do anything. Even, young man, don't bother yourself. Go back. God is protecting me. Yes, but although he knew that God was going to protect him, he utilized these ordinary means of providence to see that God's plan comes to an end. And so, because you know God will protect you from thieves or robbers, you should not decide to leave your door open at night. Or you decide to walk alone late in the night. That would be recklessness. And you'll be responsible for that. But truly, God will and is able to protect his people. And he chooses to do it in such a way many times, in a way which would not rob us the duty of making responsible choices and involving yourselves in responsible actions, the way Paul did here. To send this young man to the captain and tell him about the plot. In the second place, we see that God chose to use those in authority to protect the life of Paul. Because you see, after the tribune dismissing the young man and charging him not to tell no one that he had informed him of these things, in verse 23 we see that then he called two of the centurions and said, get ready 200 soldiers and 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen to go as far as Caesarea at the third day of, at the third hour of the night. And so they were to take Paul to the governor. Governor Felix, who was in charge of the province of Judea. It is said that this position which he occupied was the same position which Pilate occupied when our Lord was still here on earth. And Felix was a former slave who was now a freedman. And had ascended to an influential place in the Roman government. And the Emperor Claudius had sent him to Caesarea to be the governor there. But notice how the captain prepares a very large number of troops to ensure the safety of Paul. A total number of 490 troops. So many, even our president does not have so many soldiers who accompany him to protect him if he's going somewhere. But again, this clearly shows that it was God who was moving the hearts of this captain to ensure that Paul is safe. The captain instructed that Paul be taken away from Jerusalem at the third hour of the night, that is 9 p.m. I think so that the Jews might not see as they take him away from Jerusalem. He also writes a letter to be taken to the governor Felix. And in this letter we come to know what the captain's name was. Actually, it's called Claudius Lysias. But interestingly, in the letter he hides some details and even misrepresents some. For example, he does not say anything about his plan to get Paul flogged or beaten before they would find any evidence from him. And also he claimed that he came down to rescue him because he discovered that he was a Roman citizen, which was not actually the case. You know that he discovered later that he was a Roman citizen, even it was after he wanted him to be beaten. But interestingly, he finds, he writes and says, he found nothing in Paul which was making him to deserve to be killed or to be imprisoned. But it seems he left out some of the details and talked the way he talked in his letter, because he wanted to be commended before this governor as a very good man. And it's no surprise, that's how worldly people behave. They always seek honor from other people. They always want to see that they are good before men. But they don't care about the most important thing, which is their reputation before God. And you as a Christian, you should not follow that way. You should not seek honor for men. You should not seek men to see men honor you and praise you. But in all things, aim at pleasing God. So down here we see that the soldiers obeyed the instructions. So they took Paul and brought him that night to Antiparos. This was a city between Joppa and Caesarea. Probably they saw that it was not safe to travel all the way to Caesarea that very night. But finally they were able to bring Paul up to Caesarea before the governor. And the governor, it seems, he saw that it was fair to wait until the accusers of Paul come before he's judged, before he's examined, and to see what the issue actually was. So we see that he was kept in Herod's Praetorium, or the judgment hall, which was built by Herod the Great on his palace. But again, all these events, as I told you, were the providence of God going on here, out at work. He allowed all these events to go on for his own sovereign purpose. He chose to use those in authority to see that his servants protected, and so he continues with his ministry. And he does the same even today. He uses those in authority many times to protect his people. Martin Luther was also, for example, saved from the state and the Roman Catholic Church through the states. When those leaders staged a kidnap and took him away so that he would not be harmed by those evil Roman Catholic leaders. And even today, many Christians are protected by God through the state. Because there are so many people who hate Christians. Even you, because of your witness for Christ, should have already been killed, probably. But God has ensured that the state put some fear in these people who would persecute you. So that in that way you are protected by God. But you as a Christian, again, you should take so much comfort in this doctrine of God's providence. It is so comforting to know that God knows all your needs and all things which would cause you fear. And he's able to provide, he's able to protect you, he's able to use whatever means he chooses to use to protect you and provide all you need. And if you are living in fear, it is because you are ignorant of who God is, or you are mistrusting his promises. You should know that he's on your side and entrust your life unto him day by day. Know that he will cause all things to work together for good on your side. But for you who are still in your sins, there's no comfort you can get from such a doctrine. Because you are still at enmity with God. And you're just presuming on God's kindness and forbearance. And you do not know that you are accumulating wrath upon wrath on yourself. All I have to tell you this morning is that you're commanded to repent and believe the gospel for you to be safe. Don't take this for granted, because it will be very terrible for you if our Lord Jesus Christ comes back and finds you still in your sins. Repent and believe the gospel so that you also be numbered among the children of this great God. Oh friend, repent and believe the gospel before it is too late. But again, for you who are in Christ, may you again and again be assured that God is on your side, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That he may allow you to go through some difficult situations. But he will cause all those to work for your good, and if he pleases, he will rescue you through his own means. Through a miracle, through providence. Oh, may you and I always trust this loving, this all-powerful and sovereign God. Amen. We thank you for your word. Thank you for what you have told us about how you're in control of each and everything. How we do not need to fear. We need to trust you. Forgive us for the times we have not trusted you, O Lord. Have mercy upon those who are still in their sins. Help them to turn away and put their trust in you. Amen.